Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I joke about that. It's not 100% true, but a lot of it's true. You can't be a DJ at the low rungs of DJdom and not be petty. If I had any pettiness in me, I was also trained to be pettier. That's it. I grew up being, you know, learning how to be petty. If you didn't know the guy and you saw him walk into a cocktail party, you'd say, oh, that guy's got to be a football coach because it's that, yay, chew the gum, yay, like that. But you can't argue with the results. Bill Cowher was the same way. When you see Bill Cowher talk, it's like, I'll have a double quarter pounder with cheese.
And he's also learning valuable lessons.
I know what one of them is.
What's that?
Nobody said that life is fair, Tina. I'm bigger, faster, I will always beat you.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. And now, here's Oscar and Rob.
Oh, hi. I love that. That's so great.
Well, I have it always in the hopper in case
need
it.
So great. Because it's Monday.
All day.
It's Monday all day. Happy post-playoff.
Playoffs?
Probably hungover for most of you.
Not me.
Well, you know.
That's right.
When do we stop making a big deal of your sobriety?
It's all I got anymore, Oscar. We used to make a big deal about how I drank. Took that away.
That was just... No, we were concerned. You're
well, yeah, but it was still a big deal.
Make a big deal.
Well, you see, we can't take away one of the key plot points of the show. If you do, you gotta replace it. You know what? My sobriety is like fourth kid they brought in on Family Ties. Just all of a sudden, they brought in a new kid. That's my sobriety right there. It's Cousin Oliver.
We'll take him.
Thank you.
We'll take him. Mike will join us in just a bit as
tech
he's
issues.
In Florida. I'm sure he's hungover or started late. Who knows? Who cares?
No, I don't think he's drinking anymore.
I love when he says, get started, because that means we can get started.
Right.
It's perfect. Oh, there he is. Thank God.
Is it Dios mio?
Ay, Dios mio.
Dios mio.
On today's show,
we have Mike O'Mara.
And we have a fantastic revelation that has to do with our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Are you shorter or am I taller? What's going on with your seat, Rob Spiewak?
Me? I probably need to just move up. That's all.
Yes.
I'm sorry about that.
I don't know if you shrank or
I did.
Went down.
It's cold
in
here.
What happens. Yes. It's chilly in your basement.
Yes.
Chilly Willy.
In my garage.
Well, you have that air conditioner that's a kick-ass
air conditioner.
Can
you hear me okay?
Yes,
yes,
we can hear you great.
Are you well? How are things? Mike.
What?
I said, are you well? How are things?
What, physically?
Yeah.
Physically, I'm wonderful.
Oh, you're fine.
Great,
okay.
Great. Just checking.
Just technically. Do you want us to continue with the show?
A few similar things.
When you're ready to go?
I had to swap out a few lights down here today.
Oh.
Oh.
And then I won't be breaking this today on the show, but I really want to.
Oh, your smart keyboard?
This has done this to me multiple times, so I'm not sure. But it worked. Just a little reboot, and all of a sudden everything was functioning. So welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yes.
Monday.
Happy Hello Monday.
There. Yes.
Great to be here. Bear with me and talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, well, if we can continue the show, we'll just why don't you do this, Mac? We'll pretend Mike will give us a thumbs up when he's ready, and then we can bring him in. Cool?
Okay.
No, I'll stay here. I'm just doing a few buttons. I'll listen.
He's just hitting a few buttons. That's all.
Can you? Well, if we're going to do that, then can you still raise your seat just a little bit, Rob? Like, it seems like you're lower.
Well, the seat is the same as always. I can. That might be the issue.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Just
the tilt is. Yeah.
Square out your head.
Right.
Thank
on.
You.
Right on. Right.
Okay.
On.
So as I was saying,
Mike, this is huge. While you hit your buttons, you must pay attention to this because this is a big revelation.
Right. I'm just pressing buttons.
I was just trying to move along off Mike, and then you brought Mike right back into the conversation.
You know,
why would
right.
you do that?
I was excited that my shot looked so
why
good.
Would you do that? Like, I was literally just trying to ignore him, Rob, and so we could do our job. Jesus Christ.
All right. I'm out of the way now.
Thank you very much. Today we find out which one of the TMOS cast members has an uncle who is a monk who traveled South America, bringing the good word of our Lord and Savior to the poor and the underprivileged, and now
a Franciscan monk.
Yeah, now lives a different life in the States. God bless. That's a tease. I won't tell you who it is. And then we'll also unpack the full playoff aftermath as we all have lit a candle for our friend Jimmy Cerrito.
Jim Cerrito, yes.
And I am so sick of referees in the NFL, I could barf.
Oh, you're back. There you go, Mr. O'Mara. The referees didn't lose that game. The Bills lost that game.
Well,
I think any analyst will tell you that.
Hold on, Mr. Sports Analysis. Let me weigh in on that, okay? I mean, the fact is that, you know, I am tired of... I believe that there is a legitimate gripe with two things for the Buffalo Bills. There's a legitimate gripe with the secondary and their complete inability to tackle, which is not unusual in the NFL.
Right.
These are, by and large, not the largest men in the world. There are some exceptions to the rule, of course, but they are not. Their job is speed and covering fast wide receivers and getting their hands in between the receiver and the ball. They're not designed to tackle guys. So if you get into the secondary, they don't tackle. But last night, particularly egregious, but there was a an interference call against Buffalo that was complete and total crap. And I think that there are these referees that just can't keep their hands out of it. They can't. And when you see in a game of that stature, the prime directive should be, it's got to be egregious. I really believe that. It shouldn't be subtle. It should be egregious. And it wasn't. And they got screwed. And it's because the NFL likes the Swifties. And I smell a rat.
Now, Mike, let me ask you another question regarding that. And I heard at least one announcer refer to the officiating. And then they say, especially during the playoffs, do you think there should be sort of a different line that the refs get involved in during playoff football? Or is
it
the same?
I think
game?
It ought to be the same all the time. And, okay. And I just think that they tend to get excited. It's a human factor. And
right.
I think that use of replay has benefited the NFL, and it ought to be more widespread, and it ought to be more thorough. But the refs go against that, and they don't like that because it second guesses them. So it's frustrating. It's frustrating for me as a fan.
What about the drop passes by the Buffalo receivers?
But with Josh Allen doing what he was doing, it didn't matter that much. It mattered when the
didn't matter that much. It was two touchdowns.
Yeah, but I'm saying it mattered to me when they didn't tackle when Kansas City would go on their running rolls, and that was very, very frustrating. But when they have you stopped and then they throw the flag, I just hate it. I hate late-game flags. I hate it. I wish they – you know, the NHL's got kind of a policy where let them go in the third period of a playoff game. They really do. If you saw the statistics for it, and not that you want guys mugging each other out there, but if they mug each other, they're going to get called on it.
Yeah, but
let them play, for God's sake.
I agree with you, but you're not highlighting the fact that they had chances to win the game. The Bills did against the Chiefs. They had chances, other chances to score that they...
There are a lot of factors. You know, the problems with the game were multifold, in my humble opinion. That's what it was.
The game was... And look, is there a curse? Some are alleging that... the Bill Stadium was built on a cemetery that they don't know about.
A lot of people are alleging that, Mike.
Oscar.
I don't believe that
Now you're really out there.
The kick is traumatizing for many people because they just have lost. But that it wasn't even a game. It wasn't a last minute game winning kick. It would have been a tie.
Yeah, but
a tie game
sucks.
In the fourth quarter.
That guy sucks. And you have to understand the history. And Jimmy would tell you this of the Buffalo Bills, where Super Bowls. Lost on a bad kick, and just, you know. Carla, my wife, God love her, said it quite simply. They have one thing to do. They have one thing to do in practice under pressure. That's their job. That's what they are supposed to do. They're supposed to get her done. That's how it's supposed to work. So,
well, to be fair to the kicker, it was
Rob,
quite
you'll
chilly.
Be running the clock today, obviously.
Yeah, of course. It's quite chilly in Buffalo. And so, you know, that could have been a factor. Very cool.
That's why you would never be a successful coach in the NFL. You can't, you got to raise the bar. Doesn't matter if it's chilly. You got to get her done. You got to get her
what
done.
What about your Detroit Lions, Mike?
I can't do that. That's not fair. That's not genuine. But I will say, gave me a great deal of joy to watch the Lions, and you now have.
It must be rewarding, Mike, the way you've supported them through all the years.
This entire time.
Now, hold on a second.
You've always been Motor City.
He goes too far, and then you go too far on the other side. There was a couple of people, an old man, a
Motown,
very old man.
My town.
What's that?
Yo, he said Motown, my town.
I remember that T-shirt you wore. Yeah.
There was an old man and his son, and his grown son, who used to come into my bar and when we had Sunday Ticket.
Yeah.
And we, you know, like so many bars, you put your games in every corner, and they sat in the same spot, and they would watch it till the end. And I said, man, oh, man, if there's justice, someday those Lions will be in the hunt. And now the Lions are on to see if they can take on the 49ers and get to the Super Bowl.
And Mike, I never got a chance.
Great for their fans.
Never got a chance to thank you for doing that, because there were some of my favorite moments with me and my dad is when we go in and watch those Lions games.
So glad you interrupted to do that. Right? Might as well start.
Okay. Be honest, Rob.
Yes.
Is your son in town? He's not in town, right?
Not in town. Okay. Not in town.
And this doesn't make you any less of... And let me be clear.
A lot of disclaimers.
No, but I
that's
I don't
when
want
you know he's going to really zing.
I don't want you attacked by anybody.
All right.
What games did you watch in totality this weekend of the four games?
Did not watch any of them in totality.
Okay.
Did watch the end of three of them. And did watch the entire second half of the Bills game.
Got it. So. That's why.
Yeah.
Well, late night.
This is why.
And then started a little bit of a movie.
Well, this also lays the groundwork of why Rob's got the shtick. Because he doesn't care about the games. He doesn't. We know this.
Well,
right?
That's the bottom line. I don't have any dogs in the fight. I really don't. And
football.
All right. Let me ask
Baltimore.
This question. And this is for all fans everywhere. For people that watch television.
Hey, Ravens.
This is for the, the Ravens, I feel the same way.
You don't love them?
No, that AFC championship game, as far as I'm concerned, you know, go for it. Whoever wins. I'm an NFC guy. That's the way I look at it. I will root for the Niners, or I will root for the Lions. I will not be rooting for Baltimore or Kansas City.
I don't know, Mike. They're local, though. They're local.
It was. What if it was the Ravens and the Bills?
If it was the Ravens and the Bills, I'd root for the Bills.
Okay, well then. You can't say that you would.
But now it's
going to
be yay, rah, rah, AFC, Kansas City against Baltimore. And Baltimore hasn't been there in a while. Right. Baltimore, the one of the most lucky fan bases in football, where they have had winners since almost their inception. And you know what that is? That is a tribute to the organization.
It's a great front office.
That's the way I look at that.
Yes.
I really, really believe that's where it all comes from.
Fantastic owner.
When you get these doddering men that are in an organization, it sometimes doesn't work out that well. It really, really does. So getting back to football, it was a lot of fun because arguably with whoever won or whoever lost, you had the guys that are in there that probably should be in there. So that made for some really quality football. And I think we're going to have really quality championship games. I really do. I think they're going to be good. I don't think there's going to be a blowout on either side. Although the potential, and I would like to steal the Detroit fans for this, the potential of explosiveness of the San Francisco 49ers might bite you in the ass. But no, not the way they're playing right now. You got to like Detroit. You got to like the long-suffering fan base.
Well, I thought you hated their coach for a while after Hard Knocks 3 years
ago. Let me see if I can find other examples. Bill Cowher and the coach of Detroit. His name escapes me right now. Do you know his name? Does anybody on the
show?
What is it?
Dan Campbell.
It's you look at these guys and they're just, how should I put it? We used to say professional Irishman when you'd have a guy that, you know, had the red hair and he had hey, you got the real, you know, if you didn't know the guy and you saw him walk into a cocktail party, you'd say, oh, that guy's got to be a football coach because it's that yay, chew the gum, yay, I like that. But you can't argue with the results. He's fair. Right. Bill Cowher was the same way. When you see Bill Cowher talk, it's like, I'll have a double quarter pounder with cheese. Dan Campbell's the same way. Same exact way. It's like, that's a football coach. But he's done.
But 3 years ago on Hard Knocks, we both were like, because remember, he was in such great shape. I think we were both jealous.
Yeah, he used to do like the push-ups on the – he'd compete with the players to do the calisthenics. Yeah. And that was – but look what he's done. I mean, it's just the great – it's the right choice at the right time.
The results speak for themselves.
It's so emotional, right? It's so emotional that if you get a guy that knows how to tap into that, and Dan Campbell, what do they say? He has the confidence of the clubhouse. He has them believing. And a lot of that is what that's all about. Those are certain coaches. Certain coaches are in a zone where they're the quiet taskmaster, a la Bill Belichick, where you don't perform, your ass is in the car. That's it. Mm-hmm. And there's no gray area.
Or more in the drive-thru.
In the drive-thru of the what?
McDonald's next to Gillette Stadium because clearly there was all those quarterbacks that were winning the games, not him.
I disagree with that to a certain extent. I mean, you have to put the organization together.
As soon as Tom left,
would you not agree?
It was all over.
What?
As soon as Tom Brady left, it was all over. They just started losing.
Yeah, you can make a point to that. But, I mean, I think that you can't win without everybody playing well. And they had a run there with Tom Brady where the rest of the team was, you know, you can't discount everybody.
He knew how to use the toolbox that he had.
He was a good coach. So it's fun.
Handsome.
It's fun. And I did not stay up for the Buffalo game. I stayed up for...
I can't believe you didn't stay up.
No, I watched the highlights in the morning.
Oh, wow.
I was in bed at 10 o'clock. So
because it's such a back and forth,
taking a new product,
who's going to win?
I haven't heard. Well, they're an advertiser, and I don't know whether they want me to talk about it or not. But it's a new product from our friends at Liquid IV.
Which one?
Which, by the way, is our first sponsor today? Correct, Rob?
Yes, it is indeed.
That's our first sponsor today. They have a nighttime product. They have a sleep product.
Nice. All right.
Wow.
Took it last
great.
Night. Got uninterrupted hours. Was very didn't. Kick in as quickly as I wanted, but it was uninterrupted, and I felt pretty good. I feel actually pretty energetic today. And
do you look fresh?
Know, I'm surprised. Look into that if you can. You know,
I shall,
because I think they
sometimes they send us the products early to test,
right? And sometimes they just want us to be talking about their hydration multiplier, which might be legit. I think Liquid IV extraordinarily successful, getting into a lot of different things, and so the drill. And today Michael goes to school an hour later, so I have to wait for Carla. Or
is that a Monday thing or a weather?
Yeah, 9 a.m. Monday, 8 a.m. every other day of the week, 9 a.m. on Monday.
We used to do early dismissals on Mondays in Fairfax County. You went to school till 1.
They play with Monday for some reason. Yeah. So I am chomping at the bit because I turned it off at the half. And I'm very curious in the outcome, to the point where, even though I don't have a dog in the fight, I really want to not know the answer. And when I'm doing show prep, and I would go on a website and I would see the game, and I'm like, I'd get off it as quick as I could.
No, no, no.
So I wouldn't register.
Right.
And then we watch the highlights, which is the greatest thing that YouTube has ever given me, where they do that, and you know, the junior interns that edit those together in the middle of the night when they're putting that up there. Not hard to do. Time code, pop it up there. You know, you're done. Good editor can do that in 15 minutes. So I loved it. I love watching it, and I was sorely disappointed when I saw that the Chiefs are going
back. Were you surprised, though, when you watched the highlights?
No. I wasn't. I said it could go either way. It could go either way. But... And does this make me a bitter Buffalo supporter for my buddy Jimmy? The Swifty thing. I know she's wonderful. I know he's wonderful, but the... it just, I don't know. Come on.
Well, I don't know why you're so... Why, it's so I don't
Can I hate on that a little bit, Oscar?
Why? But this is what's fascinating. I don't know why people are hating on it.
I wasn't.
It brings so many more people to the game.
I wasn't hating on it until that particular game, because now we are in the semis, and now it's like, okay, the novelty of her being at the games, it's like, okay, the obligatory shot of, you know, Buffalo's special rich person's booth in Buffalo, you know, where they're, by the way, the away team ought to be, the only tickets the away team ought to get is sitting in the stands. In my humble opinions, not up in the perfect little booth with all the richy riches.
I have a theory on the boxes and how, when she's in town or the Chiefs are in town, how they get the boxes.
How do they get the box?
Well, I feel like, and this is a broader conversation we were having with the ESPN team yesterday. Yes, if you were the owner of the stadium and you could block out every single opposing fan, you probably want to do that simply because you want home field advantage, something that the Commanders will never do, or else nobody will show up to the games.
Yeah, right. Exactly, because they're that kind of team now. Which
there was a theory that was thrown around that said Capital One, which I believe that's the card that she endorses as one of her endorsements, Taylor Swift.
Capital One, wow, that's amazing.
Or yes, I think it is Capital One, if I'm not mistaken, one of the credit card companies. If they were smart, they probably have a box in every major stadium in America. So all they do is they say, hey, I see you're going to Baltimore now. Here's our suite.
That I don't doubt that for sense. A second. Yeah. Especially with corporate America taking over sports the way they have.
Yes, correct.
That's no surprise.
So somebody, it's not like somebody's she's calling saying, hey, which suite's available for me and all my friends?
You don't think she's on StubHub?
Now people are calling and saying, here's our suite. Enjoy.
Swiftie is on StubHub.
Mike, I think I know one of the reasons why you are finally had it up to your forehead with Taylor Swift is that you and I share sort of a antagonistic relationship with the NFL because of their power.
Yeah.
And we were up against it for so many years when we'd go to Super Bowls.
Any major
stuff.
League sport does that.
Yeah, but the NFL has taken it to the next level. Case in point, that terrific movie Concussion that just disappeared for no good reason. It's gone.
Yep.
But now that the NFL...
I feel guilty about my kid playing Pop Warner. I get that from people. And, you know, when I'm talking to a guy about my kid playing football and that he doesn't like flag as much as he likes the contact sports, and then he'll say, you know, but I think that's the way they're going to go eventually when it comes to kids' sports, and I kind of have nothing to say.
You don't have anything to say.
Yeah, but I'm dumb, and I'm a dumb dad, so I don't mind my kid out there throwing his body around right now.
I don't know about that.
Later in the, you know, a split in the doubleheader over the week. We had a doubleheader in our 49-degree weather down here in Fort Myers. They won one and lost one, and kind of unpleasant out there watching.
Yeah, that's almost real football weather. 49.
Well, we were real Floridians, that's for sure.
But back to the NFL, Mike.
Yes.
They have so embraced and almost weaponized the Taylor Swift thing as a way to expand their fan base. It bothers me that they're using it as a tool. You know, they're letting it.
I don't know if they're using it as much as.
Of course
it's
they
just
are.
What, it's what
because
the
it benefits the NFL.
But the NFL isn't. The NFL is not in the equipment truck outside the stadium switching the cameras. He's not. The NFL
you
is
don't
not
think
technically
they call
directing.
And say, you know what would be nice is if you
no.
got a few shots at.
No, I really don't.
Do.
I don't think it's
think
that
they
sinister.
Control everything. I, do.
I don't think it's that sinister. I just think that when I'm watching that, it's like, okay, he scores the second touchdown and he's got the superstar wife. I mean, that guy, talk about some wins, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not a Kansas City fan, and Kansas City, I there are a lot of them down here. So there are a lot of factors to the whole Kansas City thing. And
I like that you talk about
how can I not be a bitter fan? How can I not be a bitter fan with the suckdom that I have when the entire NFC East was like, Rocky Road, you know? And at least Oscar has sort of.
Yeah, the Ravens.
Baltimore,
yeah. What are you talking about? Sort of.
Oh, you're not a diehard Ravens fan? Come on. Don't pretend you
are. You never tried to give away season tickets to the Ravens. You only tried to give away season tickets for the Commanders.
I've been to more Ravens games than Commanders games. I used to go to, I guess, three or four seasons full of
You're not
going to
be devastated.
No, because I'm a grown good-looking man. That's why. Yes.
Whoa. You just are you besmirching all football fans that get passionate about their team?
Yeah, I love. Look, that is great.
You're just not emotionally invested.
I'm not emotionally invested in my marriage.
You were raised in it.
I don't care about things. I just move on with life.
You weren't raised in it. I would say if you came from a family, hold on, let me have my say here. I'll let you respond. If you came from a family in Philadelphia where your father and your father's father and your father's father's father where it was a massive part of their world and their life, you would probably feel a little differently. I give the Red Sox as an example where, now it's fickle. Because half my family now, we don't even pay attention to it anymore. In the red, but leading up to it, 80 years of a drought like Detroit.
My father's father was working in a tin mine in Bolivia, and my father was too busy trying to study to get scholarships to get himself in a better place in life.
Yeah,
and
but a lot of that tin was used to build
really
the stadiums.
You're really dismissing passionate sports fans all over our listening audience.
Yeah, I hope I am. So we didn't have the luxury to turn on the color TV, which we didn't have, and watch these games and wonder, whoa, I wonder what happens is what's going to win because we were trying to survive.
That's because you weren't American.
Because we weren't in America
yet. You weren't from America.
We weren't in America yet, and we finally got it. When we finally got here, oh my God, we can work. We can work on Sundays and make money and not watch these games and get hammered and forget about life. No, we have to go work. So we went
and worked. Mike. They did have the big wooden console Zenith radio so they could follow soccer.
Yeah.
That's what they had.
No, we would get Univision. We'd save up for cable, the Spanish cable, and we'd watch all the soccer games.
But
there.
You had no TV.
Doesn't your father get passionate about soccer? Rob, can I have this discussion with Oscar?
No, my father's an intellectual. He doesn't care. Like, he'll watch the games.
I thought you said he gets emotional about soccer games.
He does, but then he goes and reads Washington Post.
Are you saying that you can't be intellectual and a sports fan?
I was never exposed to passionate sports fans. In my I just wasn't, as a young man, I wasn't, even as a kid, no one in my family ever, it was table topics and work and then move on with life.
Sports were never a table topic?
No, we would go to my uncle's houses and they were degenerate gamblers and alcoholics. So that probably turned me off to any sports because at that point, the Redskins would lose. They would get mad, and then my dad would grab us, and we'd all leave the house.
Let me explain my passionate now for the Giants. It used to be the Red Sox. Let me give you my explanation about the passion of it. Here's what I get out of it. I get a few moments of disappointment and pain. And a few moments, that is a trade-off for me to have a few moments of joy with my son, and that's where I do it.
He's been crying all year.
Yeah, I know. That's why if the laughter ever comes, it'll be all that much sweeter.
Yeah, sweet, yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, otherwise, what's the point? I don't like watching it as an exercise. I don't get into it, you know? I don't get into it. By the way, the suffering, and I'm talking about emotional depression.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about long term. Look, it might be long term for some people in our audience.
Yes.
It wasn't ever long term for me. And if it's really long, like if you're a Buffalo fan and this is going to carry into Wednesday for you, I would seek perhaps some professional help.
No. Yeah.
Because it really is short lived. Because then you're on to the next thing. But I'm going to tell you. Can I just finish, please?
Yes, yes.
I will tell you that on. During the Red Sox, and I can go through the pain points almost better than I can go through the positive points. 1978 playoff game between the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. I was at Marist College in Poughkeepsie, New York, and I was in my dorm room with a television.
With Bill O'Reilly.
I forgot the kid's name. He was from Methuen, Massachusetts, and he was the only other one. We weren't really that good friends, but we were bonding on this particular issue. Next door, the vast majority of students at Marist College were from Long Island, New York.
Oh.
Passionate Yankee fans. And when Bucky Dent hit the home run, still referred to in New England as Bucky effing Dent.
Yeah.
When he hit the home run off Mike Torres, They pounded on my wall so hard that the books fell off the bookshelves. And that's a pain point I remember. The other one, Mike Krasny, a guy that I worked with in my early career in radio, was over with his wife at the time. And I will tell you that when the Red Sox lost that game with Calvin Schiraldi pitching in the 1986 World Series, I took my shirt and I ripped it open with buttons on it. It was a button-down shirt. That's how bad I was. That's how bad I felt. And everybody, the party broke up at that particular time. That was
you the, soured the mood. Points.
I didn't sour the mood. I nuked the mood.
Were that wife that guy was with, was she kind of into it though when you took your shirt off?
Doubtful.
No, she's like, oh, there goes O'Mara. Mike, I don't want you to. This is the truth. And actually, someone mentioned this yesterday because they were really bummed out about Buffalo losing one of the ESPN team members. And then another friend said, you know, it's funny because when you work in sports, you kind of just get over this right away because you have to go and do it like you're producing a show. So you have to look at all sides of the equation. So you almost stop being a fan. And I said, I don't know if I was ever a really big fan, to Mike's credit, of any real team. And I
Rob,
don't think
text me the running times if you can, if you don't mind.
And, okay. I also don't know. It's 30-10. And I also don't know what it's like to be heartbroken because I wasn't raised in a house that had a team because my father was gone most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have the American sports.
Yeah, I didn't have that. But I do enjoy the camaraderie of watching. It's even better when you have a friend like Jimmy Cerrito, which I was calling Billy Cerrito to the Buffalo Bills. To my wife, I was like, Billy Cerrito's not going to be happy. She goes, why do you keep calling him Billy? I was because he's a Bills fan. Because he's a Bills fan. Billy, so like, you know, and she's like, does Jimmy know you call him Billy? I was like, no, I just made it up. Either way,
that's why I call you Red.
Yes, Red.
Red O'Mara.
Red O'Mara. But
picking up the pee patch.
I was excited for the Bills because it looked for you know, three quarters of the game that I was like, oh my God, they're going to effing win this game.
Great game.
When they stopped them at the goal line and they got the touchback, when the Bills stopped the Chiefs at the goal line, I was like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yep.
We're going to see them in Baltimore.
Yep.
Jimmy's going to be so happy. He's going to be up there with the Bills Mafia. It's going to be great. And it just didn't work out.
And you're cool.
It didn't work out.
And it's a you have less gray hair because of that you know, that passion.
But I also enjoy I love the fact that we have Jimmy in our lives and we had and know Matty Masiello in our lives that are part of the Bills Mafia. I don't know if we have too many people outside of like you and a handful of other, you know, listeners that are like, this is their team. Like, you're a Giants fan, and I know Scott Rem is a 49ers fan. He's a listener. I'm sorry, Sam Rem is a 49ers fan. He's a listener because all he does is every weekend throw up a 49ers flag or helmet or, you know, sweatshirt, whatever it may be. That in itself is like, I love seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the Taylor Swift side with the Chiefs, you know, there is a piece of me that says the more people that come to the game, the greater the game becomes. Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So
if it's for the wrong reasons.
But I, you know, you can look at it almost like a businessman analyzing the NFL. The NFL doesn't need any more success. So I, you know, bringing more people to the game.
The NFL wants all the success.
They do.
And it's as sinister as you can imagine.
So what I look at it is I simply process it as a passionate fan that doesn't root for the Kansas City Chiefs when I say, well, you know, they're in it every year. It's Kansas City. Not really familiar with that city. Never been to Kansas City.
Broncos fan.
What's that? Who?
Barb Moody.
Probably Chuck Moody too. Though
Barb
right?
Moody is
bandwagon fan. She'll take
one. No, Barb Moody is a massive sports fan. She has a lot of different teams she roots for.
I thought she was a Broncos fan.
But I'll tell you right now, when you're watching when you're not into Kansas City and you look at that, it's like, all right, okay, great. They won, and oh, look at Taylor Swift. Great draft. Yeah. And the moment I did like is when his brother was there. Philly fans are going to hate that. Oh, Philly fans are going to hate that.
And he ripped off Philly, his shirt.
Oh, they're going to hate that.
So great.
Let me tell you something. Somebody, he's retiring. He would not have
done. He doesn't care.
He would not do that. I guarantee you he would be savvy enough not to have done that if he was going to come back next year.
Of course.
Not a chance. Not a chance, because Philly fans are there. Oh, you can't win the game for the Philly. Because that's how they process.
He's rooting for his brother, though.
Doesn't matter.
Overall, who do you think is doing better? The guy who likely will go to the Super Bowl with the superstar girlfriend, or the brother who's drinking shots out of a bowling ball? I think it's
the passion for that. I'm retired. I'm going to go have some beer and tear my shirt off and put my arms up in the air because I'm just having a recklessly good time. That was delightful. Yeah. That moment
they showed
him
when they showed him rip the shirt off.
Really, once you get that out of the equation, and I'm just using the Philadelphia fans how they'd process it, because I know Philly fans and I know East
Coast
fans.
You'd be mad.
They'd be mad.
No.
But man, to watch that, that made me smile. But when I saw, all the fur, or the faux fur, probably, because they're, all the Richie Riches up there, it's like, F that. Screw them.
Yeah. When I first saw him rip his shirt off.
And I like Taylor Swift. What's that?
You're going to see more of that next week.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will.
And where's the game? Is the game going to be in Kansas City?
It's in Baltimore.
It's in Baltimore.
M&T.
Good for Baltimore. Yeah. Good for Baltimore.
Also, I did want to ask you, because Foxworth went to the game this past weekend, and he will most likely go to the game this coming weekend.
And he was wearing a lot of fur.
And then he will drive down from Baltimore and then film, because it's the early game, and then we will film the television show for the late game. So he'll go with, because his son's just...
You going to be anywhere near that stadium?
Oh, no.
No.
No. I don't like the cold. The other side...
Mike, going to be a lot of gridlock up there.
The other side is, because we're doing the logistics of him going to the game and then getting back to tape the show that we should shoot on Sundays.
Right.
And it all worked out, because it's the early game on... the Kansas City Baltimore
is the
game.
Early game, like a 3:30 game though.
Yeah. Okay. So he'll be done, and then because we don't tape that game until after the second game.
Are both games going to be on Sunday?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right, yes. Gotcha. So, what I was asking him, I said, I know that Foxworth's son, he's got two daughters and a son. Like, everybody's a Lamar fan, right? So we're wearing the Ray jersey. And it's different if your son, I guess for me, if I was in the NFL and my son was wearing someone else's jersey, it wouldn't be a big deal, because as long as it wasn't my position
if the guy was a superstar, it doesn't matter.
I get it. But Peyton Manning was at the game on Saturday, the Ravens game at M&T Bank, and his son was there, and Peyton Manning's son was wearing a Baltimore number 8. Jersey, Lamar's jersey. And I'm like, man, your father is like a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's a Colt and he's a Bronco.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a little odd.
I don't know how I would feel about that. And I don't know why I care.
Do you think, though, that Peyton Manning would have a better handle on that psychologically than most dads, right? Like, he'd get it, and his kid, and by the way, with that gene pool, where the odds are overwhelming, that kid probably will go to a Division I school. I mean, they all, it's the Manning swimmers.
It's the quarterback factor.
So I don't know. I mean, because I look at that and I go, hey, you don't wear that. What are you wearing that for? My daughter, you look the other way when you're a dad. My daughter, diehard now, Philadelphia fan. Because of her boyfriend.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross.
And I was the part-time dad. I wasn't there with her on my knee. My son, I've had to pliably mold him into a Giants fan because of the land of suckdom that he has to sit through. Made my son cry twice this season. And I know both games where they did it, and it sucks. But I'd like
to... What about what if Michael, our godson, walked out with a Joe Rogan t-shirt?
I would nip that in the bud. By the way, I wore a hoodie out yesterday. There's so much we need to talk about today. We will do the roundtable in the third
and
break.
Mike, just really
quick.
Because
I do want to talk about flag football, and this is where I'm a small-minded guy, and this is where I whisper to my wife, and she gets all the negativity from me. But listen. I think if you're talking about him wearing a Joe Rogan, that I think more secure dads would be like, hey, that's cool. Go ahead, son.
Yeah, do your thing.
Go ahead. You know, the Joe Rogan Experience t-shirt. Knock yourself out. Dad's like me, you know, that remember every slight in the land of pettiness.
Yes.
And that's really it. Look, I joke about that. It's not 100% true, but a lot of it's true. You can't be a DJ. At the low rungs of DJ-dom and not be petty. It's part of the equation. If I had any pettiness in me, I was also trained to be pettier. That's it. I grew up learning how to be petty. So, I don't know. Right now, at this stage in my life, I might be more inclined to look the other way than I would, 30 years ago or 20 years ago or even 10 years ago.
Fine. But you're going on stage at one of our events,
right?
And he's wearing the Joe Rogan Experience t-shirt.
Yeah, I might process it as kind of the reverse psychology, kind of cool, because I'd use it for material.
Okay.
Mm. You know, that's really, the truth.
Because I'm watching Peyton on national television. His son's right next to him wearing the number 8. And
that's
I'm
another
a Ravens
thing.
Fan.
Right
I get
up with
that.
Swifty.
I'm fine.
Right. Mannings. Not enough. Is that all we have? You know, we have a plethora of better broadcasters that have achieved notoriety in the NFL. You don't have broadcasters that have achieved what the Mannings have combined. You got a lot of talent in that family.
Two Super Bowl rings.
God almighty.
Legacy of winning.
Manning. It's just sometimes it's like, because really when you, let's take all the success prior to them getting into the broadcast booth and TV studios. Take all of that and wipe it out. If you're looking at those guys on your local news, and you say, hey, here's our pair that's going to be doing the pregame show, you'd be like, oh, my God, who the hell are these mooks?
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah.
You would. That's the way it would be. I like, I remember a day when they actually had, you had to be a real broadcaster. You could be a former player like Pat Summerall, but you'd be a real broadcaster. And I just think that at a certain point, what is the Manning thing they do? The companion?
The Manning cast.
The Manning cast.
Clever.
I watched 6 seconds of it. It's just like,
I love it.
Okay.
I watch
there
it.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You're from another country. Let's take a break.
And Mike,
we'll come
really
back.
Quick.
I do. Yes.
The game's on Sunday, 3:00 and 6:30.
Okay. 6:30. Even that now with my new
little late,
quite manageable.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. I'll come back and talk about another football, the land of flag.
Mm. Okay.
This is gonna hurt me. Don't reinvent yourself for 2024. Just rehydrate yourself with Liquid IV. I'm drinking it right now. Liquid IV hydrates 2 times faster than water alone, and they do it all in a single delicious stick. It's really not a stick. It's a pouch. They call
it a
stick,
little.
It's
like
pouch.
Envelope, I would call
it. It's a stick pouch.
Yeah.
Pouch stick. No sugar, no artificial sweeteners. You can feel like a hydrated new you, ready to take on 2024. Liquid IV has 33 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. It's so good and so easy. Just add it to your water bottle. Shake it up. Shake it up. Isn't that Taylor Swift?
Shake it up.
And go. Try white peach, green grape, or the one I'm drinking right now, lemon lime. Mm. I love them all. You will too. I really do love them all. I can drink every single one of them. They are delish. They have the flavor thing down at Liquid IV. Make it a Liquid IV 2024 and be the best that you can be. Rehydrate yourself for the new year. Grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier, sugar-free and bulk nationwide at Costco, or do what I do. Get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use our code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Okay. No, we're not doing it now. I just said right before.
Shut up, Kraken.
You might want to listen.
Yeah, he said we'll do it later.
He never said that. He said talking about flag football. And then apologize. You said that when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about flag football, but usually that's a tease for later, and we usually do the flip side here, or the Kraken here, the round table.
Are you done?
Wish I had never started.
So I know that there are individuals associated with the flag football team that listen. And I don't want to be mean-spirited. And I don't want to be... And I'm not. I like the coaches. And I like the experience of having him doing stuff with other kids.
We are in the dark here.
I'm talking about flag football.
Okay, but we don't know, like, your friends.
He plays flag football in between his Pop Warner football. He loves football.
Our godson.
Thank
Michael.
You for saying that. Right. That was sweet, and that was natural. And that's the way you treat him, basically.
Yes.
Not going to say anything mean here. God, it's Monday. I have trouble not saying mean things because that'll piss my family off. All right. This is really, I have to be careful.
Yes. Okay. But Michael, he's in a league between leagues. Flag football, not little league tackle football. Yes. Yes.
My experience with flag. And I said this to Carla. She probably rolled her eyes and said, don't talk about that. I said, but this is the way I feel. It's not the way my son feels. Well, I'm not bringing him into it. I'm going to talk about the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel my experiences with flag football, and in the case of being super cold on Saturday night and going out to a game, and I think at some point yesterday, I said, when's the next this is what I said to my wife. I'm gonna put it out there because this will cause me down the road. Yeah. Look, it's my own personal life, and it's not all that controversial, but this is gonna bite me in the ass, but I'm gonna say it anyway. This is what I said to my wife yesterday. I said, when is the next game where we get to watch one coach's son throw to the other coach's son for the whole game and have the other kids just be there? and this is the second time, but it's true. And
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
It is, and do not take away the talent level, which is there, but with Little League in tackle football, it's a little bit more of organized, trained to get playing time for all the kids involved. Whereas this is just back and forth, back and forth, back. We won one game, we lost another game. But I'm talking out, freezing my ass off, watching there. When you go as a parent, and then the phone thread of great game, great game, great game, great game. And I finally silenced it. I was so effing tired of the whole deal. I know two parents maybe at the, and I just, it's just, I'm not from the neighborhood where most of these kids play. And it just was... it was an exercise and my kid's bummed when he's at the end, wants to quit. And I'm like, God, I believe, and I still subscribe to this mode of operation. I will not bitch to anybody in power until I am in the position of power. If I want to get involved and run things, then get out and run things. And until I'm ready to do it, I'm going to shut the F up. But it doesn't take away from the fact that you get a little frustrated and you watch that, and I wish they would spread it around a little bit. They did for a second, and my kid did not do well. But I wasn't prepared to lay that on him on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So the point is, this is now the third experience with flag football, and every time the kids that get all the plays are the kids that are relatives. And I think sometimes it's a drag.
Is it nepotism?
No, because I have to say in this particular incarnation, I love both coaches, and the kids that are playing are talented. In the case of the kid that gets thrown to, he's the fastest kid on the team, and he's got the best hands on the team.
The highest probability of winning is that combination?
I would say yes, except for the fact that if they spread it around, I think that might keep the opponents off balance a little bit. And my kid wouldn't be hang doggy going, it's the same thing every time. Because it is the same thing, and I had nothing to say to him. Because it is the same thing.
Do you feel every time, deep down, that it's sort of the coach's job to spread it around because these are kids at a young age that they need to all see action.
And I think that it could be done better, but it never is, because it's that's kind of the way it rolls, and it's frustrating. And for all the parents out there that support your children in Little League of any kind, and your kid might not be the main one, I just want to say I get you. I understand you. And I like everybody involved. So it's not anything where, and if I'm going to, I think a parent that would mention that, that's not coaching, should shut the F up, because it's not their deal. But it's but it happens that I don't, and it bumps me out sometimes.
Are you open to, did he drop a pass? Was it a blown play?
Okay. He dropped a pass and threw a pick.
Okay,
he got a few plays at quarterback.
I didn't realize that. Okay, like, great. So Michael threw like a pick dropped the pass, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
But on the other side,
yes,
he was the flagmeister. I mean, he's amazing.
He's the
best flag grabber in the league.
He's developing, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's developing, and he's also, I think, learning valuable lessons that we probably don't process because we just want to.
I know what one of them is.
What's that?
Nobody said that life is fair, Tina. I'm bigger, faster. I will always beat you. And it was like it made from Saturday night all the way through early Sunday. It made for an absolute S time.
So he carries was in a it bad with him.
Mood. Well, he's just bummed, and I get why he's bummed. And with that particular sport, which is really casual, in my opinion, compared to the the dictatorship that is Pop Warner football. You know what I mean? It's just like, come on, let them all have a little fun. And they're just guys out there that, you know, if you're out there, you're going to practice, you're running around. You know, get every kid a little pop once in a while, but it doesn't happen that way. And
What is his?
He's a defensive middle. He's kind of like the middle guy.
Well, not
I won't
position.
Say linebacker because it really doesn't apply.
I'm saying his. Oh God, not his problem solving methodology, but is he in a space where you think he can start learning now, like next play? Like wipe out, forget about what just happened, next play, next game, move on.
Looking for ahead. Two reasons I answer that in the negative.
Okay.
Number one, I think 10 is a little young to be able to do that. And his genetic makeup, you should ask me whether I want to do that. You know, I was the same way.
Yeah. I think, Mike.
Who was the leader after the first day of the senior championship at Happy Valley? This guy.
Yeah.
The leader, clubhouse leader, this guy.
Yes.
Pace of play was great, shot a great number, led the field net, which means not gross, net. I need handicap strokes to be, but I led the group.
Yeah.
And you would have gotten a trophy if you were the winner in that division.
Mm-hmm.
Second day, play slows down. Maybe I can best describe my mental state with a sound. As opposed to a something verbal. This is my brain on Saturday. Friday I led, and this is my my brain. All right, this is what I had. Took myself out of it.
Yeah, so you didn't play as well.
I didn't play as well by a lot, as Donald Trump would say, by a lot. It was bordering on embarrassing, but just not good. And then I realized after the fact that I would have, if I had been able to manage even a mediocre round of golf, I would have won. So it runs in the family is the answer to your question.
So, but Mike,
being able to
fair,
put things aside, it doesn't really happen. It just
when you thought about the fact that a mediocre round would win you the tournament, you do have the ability to think ahead.
Yeah,
Yeah, this you were able true. To figure that out. So he yeah. could do that.
No, it's just a and you know the combination of my Saturday and then his Saturday evening and being exhausted because, you know, I went to dinner and probably had some more adult beverages than I should have. So I did not think ahead. I did not prepare.
Yeah.
I said, oh, it's a later start than I thought. I can go out. Time management was not done really well.
The problems were multifold.
I've won before. I perform under pressure. First day, I was all in. Very serious, very, very cool. The next day, I was a petulant little child. I was you know.
That's the pain, right?
Yeah. Because
you knew you could have won.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the pain.
That's the pain.
You're the Buffalo Bills of that golf
That was
course.
A long-winded answer to your question. So it was a pissy weekend. It really was.
Mike, is this a good time to break?
This is a good time to break. Yeah, we'll break and we'll come back with the roundtable.
Okay.
We can talk about other people and their problems instead of mine. Because mine really aren't that bad. I'm a happy guy. I'm very, very happy. Even with the light that exploded here in the studio right before I was to, you know, sit my fat ass down, you know? And the iPad not charging. And the temperature not being correct. We'll be right back, everybody. Hey, here comes that commercial. Oh, man. We're so, so happy to have Naked Wines back on the show.
Yes.
Naked Wines, proudly sponsored today. The Mike O'Mara Show, the subscription service that links you directly to the world's best, and I mean best, underlined three times, independent winemakers. Enjoy a box of top-quality wines at a fraction of the store price, up to 60% off, and these are good wines. They connect winemakers to wine enthusiasts like you. Naked Wines cuts out the middleman, letting you savor exclusive award-winning wines without breaking the bank, and this is a deal. I love that you can answer a few questions when you order, and they will instantly match you with a perfect pour for your taste. The cabs I got were extraordinary, and in the off chance that you don't like a bottle, they'll give you a credit so you find the one you love. How good is that?
No risk. No risk
Naked
at all.
Wine sure is fine. It's wine time with Naked Wine. Did you write that first one? So can I ad lib on it?
I did.
Yeah, Naked Wine, that's just fine. Every time is Naked Wine time. So head to nakedwines.com/TMOS.
Yours and mine.
And click enter voucher in the top right when you go to the website. Then enter TMOS for both the code and the password. Please do this, folks.
Yes.
It's worth it. You get 6 bottles of wine for $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. NakedWines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS to grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. That is the bargain of bargains. NakedWines.com/TMOS. Code and password TMOS. $100 off your first 6 bottles. Cheers. Thank you. There it is.
Oh, the Kraken's a little hungover.
Wino news.
Wino news.
Thank you. We start today with the man who stole Dorothy's ruby slippers from the Wizard of Oz. He has finally revealed why he did it. The crook is a career criminal. His name is Terry Martin.
That's a fake name.
It's Terry Martin. No, that's it's the real name because they put
sounds
it in
like
the,
a fake
mugshot.
Yeah.
This was big news. When was this stolen?
A long time ago. 2005.
No, I remember when we talked about it.
Yeah, way back in 2005.
Yes.
2005.
Was it? Wow.
He lifted the shoes from the Judy Garland Museum, where I'm a routine visitor.
You're
a regular
ticket holder.
But not because he knew anything about their cultural significance. Terry had never even seen the movie. You want to know why somebody has a life of crime? Never even saw that beautiful film.
Saw
the Wizard
that film.
Of Oz.
Got to see it.
A mob associate hired him to steal them so they could cash in on the rubies, the ruby slippers. He'd heard the shoes were insured for $1 million, so he assumed the gems were real. They're not.
No, it's sequins.
No,
I've seen
them
at the Smithsonian.
They're not sequins either. They're made of glass. They're real rubies, but they're glass rubies.
Hmm.
After delivering the slippers to the guy who hired him, Terry retired from a life of crime, but they were recovered in 2018, and Terry was charged with stealing them. He'll be sentenced a week from today. Terry Martin.
Terry Martin.
Which ones were the ones we saw? Rob, I've been to the Smithsonian, as most people have, and I did see something there that had to do with the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, there's. I believe there are at least two pairs and a missing pair. Because, you know, they don't just make one prop like that.
For a movie, yes.
The Garland ones might be different than the Smithsonian ones. Because the ones I remember seeing actually were mostly sequins, because they tested with a lot of ones on the film to see what would throw off the most light. And I do think there was one with fake rubies, but it wasn't as sparkly as sequins. So, but they're all definitely, you know, associated with the film. And anytime you got a prop like that, it's worth big dollars.
You know who likes the ruby slippers?
Who?
Pauly Shore. That was a forced segue in broadcast terminology. Pauly Shore played his short movie about Richard Simmons at the Sundance Film Festival. Is this it? The court jester? It's 10 minutes?
Yeah, and I have a clip to see it.
Okay, so do you want to do it now?
Yeah, we can do it now. Yeah.
Let's watch the 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think what he did is he Tom Hanks'd us. He started talking about a big movie, and then he releases a short that's
already made. All it's going to be? He won't be doing a feature-length film?
No, I don't think so.
I imagine.
So let's roll that clip, Mac.
Are you going to eat that?
What?
Do you mind if I...
No, go ahead.
Oh. I just love the rainbow sprinkles. I used to eat 12 of these in just one sitting. Memories, all alone in the moonlight.
I like it.
Cats. Here, take a seat. No, here, sit for a sec. It's okay. I'm gonna break. What's your name?
I'm David.
Hi, David. I'm Richard.
I know who you are.
Oh, do you? Orgasmic. You're looking at me because I'm eating a donut? You think it's weird?
Oh,
listen, every day I try to find a moment to bring me peace, okay? And every day it's something completely different. Pulling over the side of the road and just turning the radio off. Crying to When Harry Met Sally. And today it's a donut. You know, there was a time in my life when food was the only thing that brought me peace. Food was very...
I really got riveted by that scene. Yeah, he was good.
I watched the beginning of it, and I think the plot is essentially he helps that overweight production assistant who's in big trouble because on Ellen, he did not give Richard the copy of Sweatin' to the Oldies 5 that he was supposed to hold up during the broadcast. Mm. So he's about to get fired because of a screw up, and Richard comes and talks him down. It seems nice. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm all in. I think it should be good.
Do you think it was, I'm going to make this, I'm going to tell the world I'm making this, and I'd love this to become a movie, this short film into a movie,
could
right?
Could be.
And then Richard Simmons comes out and says, I have no idea what he's talking about, and I want nothing to do with it.
I find myself wanting more, probably what they counted on. So we'll see. In a separate interview, Pauly said, all of this is coming from a place of love. He says, quote, you don't want to bug him. Talking about Richard Simmons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We want him to be left alone, and we don't want to bug him. We want to pay homage to him and kiss his feet and say he's done beautiful stuff. So the court jester is now on YouTube, the 10-minute mini movie.
Yeah. That's you can there, watch so. It, buddy.
Check it out.
Thank you. Tribute to Pauly Shore. Snoop Dogg was approached to pull his thang out on OnlyFans for $100 million. But luckily, he said no. I don't know if that's lucky. I know a lot of people be curious. Here's the quote. I'm like, I got a black wife. Ain't no way in the world she gonna allow me to go on there and pull that thang out for no amount of money. Snoop's been married to his wife, Shantae Broadus, since 1997. I asked Mrs. O'Mara about Snoop, and she said she's disappointed. She's curious. Yes, as I think a lot of people would be.
I'd play. I don't want to.
Yeah, I thought you were asking her if you would be allowed to do it for $100 million.
D-O-double-G?
We'll need a new camera. We'll see about that.
Like something from a lab?
I don't know about that. Rob, you suffer from allergies, right?
I do.
Are you willing to strap a comically large device to your face to help deal with them?
Like all day? All day?
No. A new gadget, it's called Nasocom, just hit Kickstarter. You strap it to your face for 15 minutes a day, and it supposedly makes your allergies a lot better. So how does it work?
In a New York second, I would do that.
It electrocutes your nose. It's probably like the things you put on your back. It's got six electrodes, three for each nostril, that deliver small electric shocks to stimulate the muscles in your nose. They claim making your nose muscles contract and relax can help clear your sinuses and let you breathe easier. Would you try it?
Yes, I would. As a matter of fact, I went to Nasocom last year. It was at the D.C. Convention Center, and they were offering
C-A-L-M, not C-O-M.
Oh, I went to the convention. You could get ENT's autograph. They were autographing flats for $10.
It's small enough to take with you, so you can use it anywhere. The promo video shows a guy using it at his desk at work.
Well, it beats shooting water up my nose, which is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, you were talking about that just the other day. They plan to sell it for $100, but you can get it for $60 if you back them on Kickstarter. They claim it'll ship by March, just in time for allergy season.
I remember Rob talking about how much he had fun at the convention because they had the mucus mocktails.
Yeah,
oh, they were fantastic. Yeah. It looks like it's been in one of those super blenders, but it wasn't. It was all natural.
And they had the signature dessert, too. That's snot cake.
Oh. a man who is attracted to objects has dished the details of his relationship with multiple balloons.
Oh, no.
Akash Majumdar. Let me see if I got that right. Akash Majumdar. He's a 28-year-old. He's so in love with his collection of inflatable partners. That he could burst. The romantic identifies as objectum sexual, which means he is sexually attracted to inanimate objects. The loving bond between Akash and his balloons began as an innocent friendship, but blossomed into something deeper as he got older. Now, the 28-year-old, who is from Mumbai, shares a bed with them and says they also enjoy a physical relationship.
Naturally.
This is disturbing at a level that I know there's comedy here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I have one if you want.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Gives new meaning to the ex.
Oh, no.
It gives new meaning to the term popped the cherry.
Oh, gross.
Wow.
Thank you.
I know that when those balloons get to be about 50 years old, they're not as firmly inflated as they used to be.
Yeah. And God forbid they have writing on them because it looks like an old tattoo. We'll come back with a comedian recommendation, a new one.
Oh, good.
She might be known, might not. We'll be right back, everybody. Do you want to lose 21% of your weight? I have lost over 70 pounds. I'm excited to share with you that DermGlowSkin.com is now your one-stop shop for finally getting control of your weight problem. All you have to do is click the weight loss button at DermGlowSkin.com, take the quiz, and see if you qualify. A doctor will write you a prescription, the pharmacy will fill it, and your weight loss medication will be
slipped under your door.
Thinking about the last guy. Directly to your house. House spelled H-A-U-S. If you're sick of waiting for your medication because of low or out of stock people that are trying to do this, DermGlow connects you with a doctor that is fully supplied. No more waiting for you. If you are already on it, do what I did. Show the doctor your prescription and easily make the switch. It's changed my life. You know that. I've lost so much weight. You can tell how many peas I ate for dinner by counting the lumps in my silhouette. You are stretching now, pal. You are really stretching.
We're talking thin, Arthur.
I'm talking thin. So go ahead, get excited, and do it all online right now at DermGlowSkin.com. If you struggle with weight for too long, click the weight loss button and begin the best journey of your life. Make 2024 the year you finally reach your goal. And if you'd like to get involved in Carla's biz,
You could do that too. We'll have more information on that as the week goes on. Dermglow, you can do it. All right, I don't know if anybody knows this comedian, but I think she's really, really funny, and I watched her little mini special last night, and I think she's open for Jimmy Norton, and she's really, really funny. Does anybody know Kelsey Cook? Anybody? Anyone out there know Kelsey
Cook? Let me see a picture of her.
Yeah.
She is charmingly hysterical, and it's this. She marries the comedic with the appeal of somebody that's out there in the dating world, and it really works. And she's just skilled at it. And so, if you want to check her out,
I have seen her on my feed plenty of times.
She's really funny, and you know, she really does a good. And Lewis Black has a special floating around now, which is, I think, his best work ever, when he talks about the quarantine and the pandemic. So really, if you get a chance,
he stands to age better because he's already old and cranky. So
he's old and cranky, and he looks great. Lewis Black is north of 70, is he not?
I'll find out, but that sounds about right.
That's the positive. So if you want to check out that, I was enjoying Lewis Black, Kelsey Cook, and then reading everything I could on Roger Stone and the threat of murder against Congress people.
Murder.
By the way, interesting world we're living in right now, where in a normal world, if you flash back 20 years ago and somebody was on tape talking about the murder of a political figure, it would be front page news everywhere. But because I think it's Roger Stone, and he's part of the crazy world we live in, that doesn't seem to have much traction.
This is the same guy that had his home raided, 4 years ago now?
Yeah.
And, by the FBI?
I mean, look, I think a lot of these news sources, Oscar, are saying independently verified. That's what they try to do to make sure it is the guy. But it's Roger Stone talking about Eric Swalwell, the congressman, Jerry Nadler, the other congressman, and talking about we got to get them. We got to take them out. And it is just weird. And the reason I bring it up is because I don't think enough people are bringing it up. Mm-hmm. And this is what happens when you literally consider the other team to be mortal enemies. I don't. I talk to people every day from both sides of the aisle. I do. That are passionate, and they talk to me. And I have a lot of reasonable, rational discussions.
What do they say when they talk to you?
I talked to a guy this weekend that started the conversation with, do you think that it was concerning Joe Biden's cognition. And he was, you know, which I get a lot, Timon.
Yes,
and I was saying that we concurred on the fact that you are going to be looking at a repeat of the election that we had 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I said I would very much be supporting the current president. And I did not think that the decline prohibits him from doing what he's done, because he's done it for 4 years. Yeah. So that was my thing. And then we got into, would you consider somebody else? I said, I prefer it to be two young, vital men. I think most people in America would.
Or a woman.
And I...
What?
And I got this that I get from a lot of Republican friends of mine who say, I like the policies, which, you know, the conservative element of things, but I hate the man. That said to me more than I get anything at all. But I don't think that hating the man is necessarily going to prevent people from pulling that lever. Stay tuned. We're in for a bumpy ride.
I remember the former president said, pull that lever before you die.
Yes, before you die if you're out in the cold.
Yeah, clever.
It's a weird, weird world. One thing I wanted to say, though, is that anytime you move into that arena of that kind of legitimacy, I would never say that in a joking way to a friend of mine or to a coworker of mine.
Yeah, I thought that was illegal.
I thought it was illegal too.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you think, because he's a national public figure, that this would have... Were you even aware of it before I brought it to your attention?
No, I was not.
Didn't get a lot of traction out in media land. Now, sometimes these stories have two cycles, where they were, but I don't think that's going to happen, because I think that the new normal
is that kind of thing not being the worst thing? This obsession that we have with all things, you know, about one guy, even gets in the way of the other guy, the other guys that work for him. It's a strange, strange
line. I thought, I guess as far as the political news is the biggest news, and not the the subplot of all of this, these prosecutions, illegalities, broken laws, that has been going on for so long that unfortunately I think the most of America has become numb to it.
I agree with you.
The other side is that Ron DeSantis has dropped out of
you must be heartbroken, Mike,
of the race, and there's and like that wasn't shocking to me. I don't think it was shocking to you, right?
Hey,
Mike?
Look,
like that
was... the bottom line is, don't feel bad for Ron. There, he's back in Florida. There will always be more books to ban. So
they keep writing them.
Yeah, he'll keep.
You know who would be
them.
A great presidential candidate is 75-year-old Lewis Black, who is 75. That's what the answer to your question.
Lewis Black is there is an homage that he pays to his audience at the end. It's not a spoiler alert. It's one joke. It is at the end, but it's just funny where he talks about his relationship with the audience is his primary relationship. And it is so, it's in a weird, twisted way poignant, because at the end he says, but I don't like you. Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine him not having friends.
I need you. Thank you very much, and I love you. It's just, Lewis Black.
He's great.
I love him. Fantastic. So anyway, that's just a few random notes here, because that music tells me we have to go to break, because we've got the flip side coming up, and it is about 4 degrees in this studio right now. We'll be right back, everybody. Important TMOS news. The TMOS store is under new management, and she is en fuego. Social interaction, fast shipping, online thank yous. It's a new era. If you haven't ordered anything yet, good news. You didn't miss out. You can still get in on some of the good stuff. So visit our store. It's open 24 hours. But wait, there's more. Hear me now and believe me later. Hats are a-coming. Keep visiting TMOSstore.com and share the TMOS gospel. Grab your gear and support the show you love. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. Plus, the more you buy, the more dog photos we'll share on social media. Carla was bugging the guys for dog photos over the weekend.
I love seeing them.
No bother whatsoever. Yeah.
TMOSstore.com, the source for all things Mike O'Mara Show. Official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support. And remember our motto, Rob.
If you don't buy it, we won't sell it.
There you go. Hitting your thingy there.
Hello. Upside down.
Roll over. Roll it. Roll it.
Roll it.
Let me roll it.
Flip, flop, and fly.
The flip side.
Mac, let's start today with Atlas Airlines. Mike, have you ever heard of Atlas?
I have never heard of Atlas Airlines in my lifetime.
He's the guy who holds up the globe.
Yeah, but he's not an airline. This isn't an airline.
He holds it up with kind of a... Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And also, he knows where everything is. Mm. He's an Atlas.
He does.
They fly at least out of Miami Airport. And they had a bad weekend. And
oh, no. I've never heard of them. This is great. This scares the crap out of me when you bring these stories to the show.
Mike, the bad thing is when you have a bad weekend, that's bad enough. But when someone captures it on their phone, that's even worse. And when it's on the Miami news, there's your hat trick. Ladies and gentlemen, take a look at Atlas Air.
Oh, my God. It's on fire. Oh, my God.
Flames shooting from the engine. A striking sight that no one ever wants to see. So what caused it? It's too soon to tell definitively, but aviation expert Jeff
Pizzetti,
who worked
great
for the FAA and the NTSB, has a theory based on the video images.
Well, it appears to me that something is occurring inside of that engine. Perhaps
really?
A fan blade or turbine blade liberated, broke and came out, which would indicate an uncontained engine failure.
The pilot recognized the engine fire and immediately sent this Mayday call to the control tower.
Oh, stop it. Pause it for just a second.
Pause it, Mac.
Hey, we have it over here.
Oh, you do? Good for
I
you.
Think, okay. It's an old plane. I think I've seen that. Is that like a 747?
It looked like a 747 to me. Yeah.
I think they're like
cargo planes. Go ahead, Mac.
Sorry,
Mac. He sent this Mayday call to the control tower.
Mayday.
Oh, we're filtering now.
My fault. I shouldn't stop him.
That's fine.
It's fine.
We get the gist.
But, Mike, the guy said when you see an airplane that is actually burning and showing smoke in the air, he says, looks like it might be an engine problem.
That is funny. Everybody was safe, though, right?
I felt for the expert because Shannon and I were watching this in real time. And the work we do, sometimes we're like, is this person in his childhood bedroom? The way that's all laid out.
All the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't know. You're like, what is happening here? At least go somewhere and says, I'm an adult and you can trust me.
There's
yeah.
all these toy planes and propellers you would expect to almost see like a glowworm, as you mentioned before.
Yes.
Mike, do you miss your days when you worked on radio station KITX in Oklahoma?
Kittix was really one of the most pleasurable experience. Loved Omaha. Really,
they also had a bad weekend.
Okay.
They're close to the Texas border, and so they're an important station.
Oh, it's not
station.
Omaha. It's not Nebraska. Where did I say it was?
It's Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Terrible. Yeah. I loved Oklahoma.
That's all right, but they have a huge range, so you might have been right. They had a bad weekend, too. Thieves broke their tower. Thieves pulled their tower down and caused $500,000 worth of damage. But, to be fair, the thieves got away with $100 worth of copper.
They either used wire cutters or something really similar to that, and they just cut the guide wires on the top section, and that set of guide wires, after that, that's when it folded and came to the ground. We need to be able to reach the citizens of Northeast Texas and Southeast Oklahoma with life-saving information. And you've taken our voice off the air needlessly for, what, $100 worth of copper? Shame on you.
Shame on you. But that doesn't seem like a good cost to benefit ratio when you're doing $500,000 worth of damage to get $100 worth of copper.
Well, I'm sure the thieves don't realize that, right?
I suppose.
They just
flip a coin. This coin has traveled many, many miles to see you. It means everything. I'm sorry.
I don't know why Anton worked his way into it.
I was thinking that it was probably the guys from the morning zoo across the town.
Hey, man, we're going to go over there, cut their copper wire, and it's going to bring the whole tower down. Oh, my. And then when it came down, they were going, woo. Yeah, there you go. Right.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
That's it.
DoorDash. Don't always trust DoorDash. We're going to close with this, Mac. Don't always trust your DoorDash because sometimes they can monkey with your order on the way. Mm. Try to cover your evidence. Watch out for the DoorDash cookie thief.
Ooh.
My box of cookies. Why are they open? It's open. The box is open. Why is it open?
Open.
You was eating it. You got chocolate on your mouth.
No.
You got chocolate right there on your mouth. You was eating my cookies? You was eating them. It's open.
Open.
I'm reporting you to DoorDash.
So, Mike, if you're going to steal the cookies, wipe the chocolate off your mouth. For God's sake.
That poor guy.
Wow, that's a hungry man.
He was just hungry.
Yeah. Who doesn't love cookies?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, you know, if that's the only meal you're going to eat all day, you might want to get something just a tad more nutritious.
Here, here.
That's my opinion. We got to get out of here. Thank you very much for supporting the show. I'm going to go start a fire in here so I can warm up a little bit. It's so cold.
Steal all the copper.
I'm going to put this on the show right at the end because I don't want to look like an idiot. But this is my split controller here.
Yeah.
All right. So when it says mode, I get, I've got an A. With squares around it. Then I've got a snowflake. That's the air conditioner.
Got it. Right?
Yeah.
Then I've got what looks like teardrops in a square. Yes. What does that mean? What is teardrops?
Humidifier,
in a
probably.
Oh, humidifier. Well,
and A is automatic. And then, so it'll just automatically.
And then sun. Would that be heat? Would that be would the sun icon be the heat?
Oh, I thought you said stun. I thought it was a. No.
I have a lot of questions.
I didn't know you had heat. That could come out of that system.
I would assume if it's got air, it's got heat, too. But I don't
know. Well, usually that's two different units, isn't it?
Yeah.
But who knows?
Heat pumps work the same way. They can just
turn it around, and it's now a heat pump.
Hey, look who's alive.
Look at this
Mac,
guy.
Mac, we'll talk after the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call him.
For Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and Mike McIntosh. This is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Yeah, call in.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.